The global economy is coming back from the depth of the crisis, but this calamity is far from over. All countries are now facing what I would call the long ascent, a difficult climb that will be long, uneven, and uncertain.
In this program, IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva with a preview of the World Economic Outlook to be released next week during the virtual IMF World Bank annual meetings.
It requires new paths up the mountain. We cannot afford simply to rebuild the old economy with its low growth, low productivity, high inequality, and worsening climate crisis.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. As COVID-19 continues to wreak havoc on people and economies across the globe, the IMF and the World Bank prepare for their second round of virtual meetings since the start of the crisis. In her customary curtain-raiser speech, IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva said while the global economy has picked up slightly from June, the recovery will be daunting for many countries.
First, let's look at the economic picture. Global economic activity took an unprecedented fall in the second quarter of this year, when about 85% of the world economy was in lockdown for several weeks. The IMF in June projected a severe global GDP contraction in 2020. The picture today is less dire. We now estimate that the second quarter downturn was somewhat less severe than expected, allowing for a small upward revision in our global forecast for 2020. And we will continue to project for 2021 a painful and uneven recovery. You will see these projections next week. We have reached this point largely because of extraordinary policy measures. They put a floor under the world economy. Governments have provided around $12 trillion in fiscal support to households and firms. And unprecedented monetary policy actions have maintained the flow of credit, helping millions of firms to stay in business. But some were able to do more than others. For advanced economies, it is whatever it takes. For poorer countries, they strive for whatever is possible. This gap in response capacity is one reason why we see differentiated outcomes. Another reason is the effectiveness of measures to contain the pandemic and restart economic activities. For many advanced economies, including the United States and euro area, the downturn remains extremely painful, but it is less severe than expected. And China is experiencing a faster than expected recovery. Others are still hurting badly, and some of our revisions are on the downside. Emerging markets and low-income and fragile states continue to face a precarious situation. They have weaker health systems. They are highly exposed to the most affected sectors, such as tourism and commodity exports. And they are highly dependent on external financing. Yes, abundant liquidity and low interest rates helped many emerging markets to regain access to borrowing. But not a single country in sub-Saharan Africa has issued external debt since March. So my key message is this. The global economy is coming back from the depth of the crisis, but this calamity is far from over. All countries are now facing what I would call the long ascent, a difficult climb that will be long, uneven, and uncertain, and prone to setbacks. As we embark on this ascent, we are all joined by a single rope, and we are only as strong as the weakest climbers. They will need help on the way up. The path ahead is clouded with extraordinary uncertainty. Faster progress on health measures, such as vaccines and therapies, could speed up the ascent. But it could also get worse, especially if there is a significant increase in severe outbreaks. Risks remain high, including from rising bankruptcies and sketched valuations in financial markets, and many countries have become more vulnerable. Their debt levels have increased because of their fiscal response to the crisis and the heavy output and revenue losses. We estimate that global public debt will reach a record high of about 100% of GDP in 2020. There is now also risk of severe economic scarring from job losses, bankruptcies, and the disruption of education. Because of this loss of capacity, we expect global output to remain well below our pre-pandemic projections over the medium term. For almost all countries, this will be a setback to the improvement of living standards. This crisis has also made inequality even worse because of its disproportionate impact on low-skilled workers, on women, on young people. There are clearly winners and there are clearly losers. And we risk ending up with a tale of two cities. We need to find a way out. So what is the path forward? We see four immediate priorities. First, defend people's health. Spending on treatment, testing, and contact tracing is an imperative. So too is a strong international cooperation to coordinate vaccine manufacturing and distributions once we have vaccines, especially in the poorest countries. Only by defeating the virus everywhere can we secure a full economic recovery anywhere. Second, avoid premature withdrawal of policy support. Where the pandemic persists, it is critical to maintain lifelines across the economy to firms and to workers, such as tax deferrals, credit guarantees, cash transfers, wage subsidies. Equally important is continued monetary accommodation and liquidity measures to ensure the flow of credit, especially to small and medium-sized firms, supporting jobs and supporting financial stability. Cut the lifelines too soon, and the long ascent becomes a precipitous fall. Third, flexible and forward-leaning fiscal policy will be critical for the recovery to take hold. This crisis has triggered profound structural transformation, and governments must play their role in reallocating capital and labor to support the transition. This will require both stimuli for job creation, especially in green investments, and cushioning the impact on workers, from retraining and reskilling to expanding the scope and duration of unemployment insurance. Safeguarding social spending will be critical for a just transition to new jobs. Fourth, deal with the debt, especially in low-income countries. They entered this crisis with already high debt levels, and this burden has only become heavier. If they are to fight the crisis and maintain vital policy support, if they are to prevent the reversal of development gains made over decades, they will need more help, and they will need it fast. This means access to more grants, concessional credit, and debt relief, combined with better debt management and debt transparency. In some cases, global coordination to restructure sovereign debt will be necessary, with full participation of public and private creditors. In all these areas, our member countries can count on the IMF. We will help them all the way up the mountain. We will strive to be their Sherpa. We will help show the way with sound policy advice. We will provide the training for the climb some may need. And above all, we will be there with financial support, and we will help ease the debt burden for those who otherwise may not make it. We have provided financing at unprecedented speed and scale to 81 countries. We have reached over 280 billion in lending commitments, more than a third of that approved since March. And we are ready to do more. We'll still have substantial resources from our $1 trillion in total lending capacity to put it to the service of our members as they embark on their ascent. Again, this will be a difficult climb. It requires new paths up the mountain. We cannot afford simply to rebuild the old economy with its low growth, low productivity, high inequality, and worsening climate crisis. That is why we need fundamental reforms to build a more resilient economy, one that is greener, smarter, more inclusive, more dynamic. This is where we need to direct the massive investments that will be required for a strong and sustainable recovery. Our new research shows that increasing public investment by just 1% of GDP across advanced and emerging nations can create up to 33 million new jobs, badly needed. We know that in many cases, well-designed green projects can generate more employment and deliver higher returns compared with conventional fiscal stimulus. We also know that an accelerated digital transformation is underway. It is promising higher productivity and new jobs with higher wages. We can unlock this potential by retooling tax systems and investing in education and digital infrastructure. Our goal must be for everyone to have access to the internet and the skills to succeed in the 21st century economy. All this can be done. We know it from the previous generation that had the courage and the resolve to climb the mountains they faced. It is now our turn. This is our mountain. And as one climber put it, every mountain top is within reach if you just keep climbing. The same goes for the long ascent and the policies needed to move forward. Joined by a single rope, we can overcome the crisis and achieve a more prosperous and more resilient world for all. Let's do it. Thank you very much.
That was IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva delivering her curtain raiser speech to the 2020 IMF World Bank annual meetings, which will be held virtually next week. Go to imf.org to follow the meetings and find all of the flagship reports, including the World Economic Outlook, the Global Financial Security Report, and the Fiscal Monitor. Look for other IMF podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe if you like what you're hearing. And follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. Thanks for listening.